Welcome in to the Irish NFL show. It's Combine Week in West. That doesn't fill too many NFL fans with excitement. I suppose it gives us an opportunity to discuss a little bit of news that comes with it. That all the GMs, all the various different coaching teams tend to do a lot of press conferences. Delighted to have Noel Downing here to run through a number of teams. I suppose nuggets and snippets of information which we've seen over the week, but only kind of makes us wonder as to what's ahead come free agency in a couple of weeks now.
That's it. Well, look, we're well on the road to the draft now and when Combine kicks in. And as you say, there's a lot of nuggets and stuff that come out of Combines because this is where teams come together. This is where deals start getting discussed and maybe frameworks for specific deals get put in place. And we, as people reporting on the NFL, you know, we start to hear, and fans, we start to hear these little, as you say, nuggets coming out and maybe a couple of rumors that, you know, feel like they're building up a bit, that something's about to happen. So, yeah, it's an interesting week and I can't wait to dive into it.
Yeah, I found myself trying to watch as much as possible of all the press conferences that were available to us on Tuesday. Obviously, some of them are behind the paywall or the, whatever you want to call it, in terms of we get the little snippets and then later on stage you get to watch the interviews in their entirety. I'm actually going to start with the Seahawks. It's not necessarily because it's a star to come out with. I found it unusual that the GM, John Snyder, stood up in the press conference and he said none of the new coaches are attending. Now, this isn't unusual. We see teams tend to do this. They all have different strategies on how to approach the combine. They said all the player personnel were here this week and they would be interviewing all the players that they have on their list in terms of potential selections come April. And all of that obviously will take place in Indy. But I did find it a bit striking that a new head coach or a new coaching staff has decided that, as opposed to this, and so this is not for us, we're not going to go to it, we're going to come up with our own strategy. And I know it's only February, we're coming into March, but I know it's still very early on in the process for all teams in terms of evaluation. But it did strike me as what I would have thought. Bear in mind, other teams are there, other coaches are there, we're talking about potential deals being done that they're not there. Essentially, it just looks to me like John Snyder is there to try do any free agency conversations he can, but ultimately the draft is pro day style now, and that's what we're getting, as opposed to with a lot of stuff in which we see at the combine.
Yeah, it is a little surprising. As you say, it's not unusual now. Other teams have done this before and other coaching staffs do this. But for me, I just like the idea of the coaching staff being there. You know, if there's a top offensive player or defensive player that you want, it's nice to have your head coach and whichever coordinator would be on that side of the ball just to meet these guys and talk. I know you only get 20 minutes with them. It's not massive, but it's still something of your coaching staff who are going to be potentially working with this young player to just meet him in person beforehand to see if it is someone they mesh with and if it is someone they feel like, you know, they want to come into that organization. So yeah, it's a bit strange. You know, as you mentioned, it's a new coaching staff, so maybe they feel like they haven't really hit the ground running yet. They've things to work on that they feel is just more beneficial to stay behind. You know, of course they'll still get the medical information there and there'll still be, as you say, people from the Seahawks there. But yeah, overall, I just think it's better for these coaches to be there to meet these guys. I know I watched the interview with Raheem Morris, who, when he was at the Rams, talked about that they didn't go to the combine, that's just the way they felt it was to be done. But as a head coach now, he's at the combine. So he, in his personal kind of beliefs, and obviously feels it's better for a coach to be there. And to be honest, I would just kind of lean that way. Look, at the end of the day, so many people in these organizations work on these draft picks and these players. So, I mean, I'm sure they'll be fine. But yeah, I think I just like the thought of a coach being there, meeting these players in person.
It's a very different time for Seattle now. Obviously, they're moving off to Pete Carroll experience and it's Mike McDonald going forward. And I suppose, again, bearing in mind how late, you touched on it there, how late he was to taking over there. You know, he's coordinating defense for the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. He then has to put a staff together. Maybe, as you said, they're at that kind of preliminary stage, but they're still working through exactly the nature of how they want to run things. Just thought it was a bit striking when John Snyder said it this week. But again, he couldn't refer to other teams not doing it in the past. But we are going to go into the nuggets of information piece now. And obviously, we're going to start with your Chicago Bears because you and Connor, Chicago Bears, let's bear in mind Connor, our key host of the show, is a big Bears fan as well. Picking one, picking nine. Does it look to me like they're going to trade out this year? Now, I know they're not going to give it away too much because they say now and they declare that they're picking a quarterback with the fourth pick, whether it's Williams or Drake May. That probably stops the phone ringing on potential big offers. So I think they're obviously going to play their cards as close to their chest as they can. But I would say it was striking this year compared to last year. And you know very well, James, how Ryan Poles approaches things. His local range in terms of media acknowledgement, and obviously the main press conference this week, he was kind of very clear enough. If they decide it is a quarterback for them with the first pick, they will do their utmost to give Justin Fields a fair crack at a proper trade in advance, you know, of free agency, allowing for teams to put in some their offers. It kind of feels like it's going that way. It very much feels like it's a very different approach to last year, where he was a little bit more keyed in on Justin Fields. It does feel like it's come to the end of the road in terms of Fields, and we're going to see a trade. And it feels like a trade is in the offing. It may not be for a few weeks, but it feels like we are close to something happening.
It does. I think if you just look at Ryan Poles last year at the Combine and then kind of equate that to this year at the Combine, the way he's talking is that little bit different. That for me anyway, personally, look, we always overanalyze everything these guys do and say and body language and this and that. So who knows for sure, but just for me personally speaking, watching what he's saying and how he's saying it, it feels like, you know, he's basically telling the league, yeah, like Fields is available. You know, he wants to get that deal done quickly if it's going to happen. As he talked about, you mentioned he talked about wanting to do the best thing for Justin Fields. That's not something he even alluded to last year, which tells you obviously it is something in the forefront of the mind. He talked about understanding from Justin Fields' point of view how being stuck in that gray area, he wouldn't like it himself, but unfortunately it's a business and this is the way things kind of roll. But yeah, I think if anyone had any doubt, for me, it needs to be kind of put to bed. I mean, even Coach Eberflus was talking about the kind of quarterback the Bears want. And some of the things he kind of suggested as his kind of quarterback was, you know, being able to run that 2-minute offense, you know, to finish off games. There are things that Justin Fields, if you watch in fourth quarter stats, he rates from 29th to 32nd in a number of those stats. So again, I'm reading into it a bit, but it still feels like they have kind of moved off from Justin Fields. And obviously you can never come out and say that. They're looking to get a deal done. So I do think the writing's on the wall. I think a move is coming, and I think it probably will be sooner rather than later. Now, there is a lot of links still out, still to the Steelers, but the Falcons seems to be that main link still, and that seems to be really, really heating up. It has been confirmed that the Falcons have made initial contact with the Bears. Now, it is only initial, but I think when you look at it, you know, a lot of people have said the Falcons looked like a good spot, not just because Justin Fields is from Georgia, but also because of the players they have, where they are in the draft, what they might need to do to move up. It could just be an easier option to get a Justin Fields. So yeah, I think watch this space, but I do think something will probably happen sooner rather than later when it comes to Justin Fields. And I think, as most people, I do feel it's more than likely going to be the Falcons that will make that move.
I come to the Falcons. I just wanted to throw in as well. Caleb Williams was very complimentary of the Bears thereafter yesterday, and some, again, nuggets and sips of quotes coming from various different outlets and interviews that he'd be very excited to go to the Bears. And there's always these offline conversations. He doesn't really want to go there, but I think to me that sounds like he's kind of, it's been well established. He knows where he's going, and you know, he's marking his card as much for everybody to know that, yeah, I'm gonna go there, and I'm gonna be rightly proposes the number one quarterback next season.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you're referring to that Peter Tamil interview from ESPN where Caleb Williams basically told him, look, if the Bears draft me, I will be very happy to go there. If the Bears draft, or if the Bears trade that pick and somebody else has drafted me, I'll be very happy to go there. And for me, I never doubted it. I didn't think for a second that he would be looking to kind of determine where he goes and kind of reject being picked. But I was just happy to see it was finally put out there, because I don't know if you're aware or not, Brian, but Bears Twitter's in a bit of a civil war at the moment with the pro Caleb, pro Justin. And people were just taking this and they were running with it to suit their own agenda. Oh, he doesn't want to go to the Bears. Yeah, the Bears, he won't go number one. And you're like, no, look, that was never, ever going to be a runner. I think anyone who really sat down and thought about it knew that wasn't going to happen. You know, we get these stories pre-draft every single year about, oh, this player, you don't know where they're coming from, but they get out there. So I was just happy that Caleb actually gave an interview where he dispelled that rumor that he didn't want to go to Chicago. He should be absolutely delighted to go to Chicago. Normally when a quarterback is taken number one in the draft or anybody, they're going to the worst team in the NFL. but because of a great trade by Ryan Poles, I think Caleb Williams is going into a very, very good setup if he is the quarterback chosen. And I think for him, you know, he said it himself, he's not a businessman, he's a businessman. So Chicago is a big market. So from that point of view, it's great for him. Also from the point of view that we really have never had that quarterback. And if he were to become that quarterback, he would be a legend, which I think is something that really would appeal to any player going into it. Plus, it is a good setup around him. There's more to be done, but it's still a nice landing spot for a young quarterback going first in the draft.
Well, that brings us on to Justin Fields in terms of where he could potentially end up playing. You touched on the Falcons there. It does seem like it's the most obvious one. A couple of things, as you said, he's from the area. Okay, so that's obviously a good fit. And I don't think this has been put out there too much. Ryan Pace is with the Falcons. Ryan Pace was a part of the front office that brought him in. Originally, he was part of, you know, when they drafted him and made that trade with the Giants back in that previous draft in 2020, if I'm correct, 2021. And he's there. He obviously has a relationship with him. That can't be, you know, discounted. And Mitch Eisen's show this week, you have Raheem Morris doing it very public and saying, we're going to have an aggressive hunt for a quarterback. Straight away, that strikes me as Desmond Ridder is essentially, his cards are marked in advance. It doesn't sound like they're going to give him an opportunity. And the fact that he says we're going for an aggressive hunt, that strikes me as they're exploring all options. It's not just about potentially looking for the quarterback in the top 10 in the draft. And they'd be more likely to go and find a quarterback in free agency or make a trade. So again, it just seems like there's too many dots being connected here. It would strike me as a huge surprise if it wasn't the Falcons. I know there's other teams been suggesting, you touched on it there, the more and more we get closer to the tampering period on March 11th, it looks like a deal will be in place by then for the trade. And it helps the Bears, and it probably helps the Falcons. They can settle down, they can try find players to put around them in free agency if they see the needs on offense, and it gives players more ammunition within the draft coming up today.
Absolutely. You look at the quarterback situation there, I think Justin Fields is a really good fit for that team that they have there. You obviously got exciting players like Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. You know, if they were to get that quarterback in there, and Justin Fields does have all the tools for whatever reason in Chicago, whether it be Matt Nagy, you know, Getsy or Fields himself, it didn't seem to come together, but he did show flashes at times to show that he can make all the throws and he is electric, you know, when he needs to move on his feet. So I think something like that works really, really well with the Falcons. Then, as you say, obviously Raheem Morris talked about somebody who I identifies with Atlanta, or, you know, kind of, as we say, Justin Fields is from there. So that kind of fits in. And then another very key point was Raheem Morris talked about the quarterbacks last year and said, yeah, obviously the quarterbacks last year were bad. That's why I'm here now. You know, I'm here because they were bad. So, yeah, you can't see those quarterbacks that are there now going forward being the future for the Atlanta Falcons, whether it be drafting someone or in free agency. I do think the Falcons make a move there. And just for me personally, I think Justin Fields looks like he could be a really good fit there, and he could work well with the players that are already there.
Just wanted to be about the Broncos. I know people probably listen and go, oh, here we go again, Broncos. It's a Broncos narrative and conversation. The column isn't here for this one, but it was more around the fact that on Monday, we saw a video footage of, you know, various snippets from the Brandon Marshall, Russell Wilson podcast, in which he essentially kind of outlines the kind of bereavement and difficulty he had with the Broncos organization, but they come to him during the season after having a number of really strong wins to turn their season around and say, we need you to essentially walk away from certain commitments during the contract around if he was to get injured and clauses around what you should be paid. And as a player, he's trying to protect himself, and I understand that and appreciate that. And others have this kind of narrative and that rumor of conversation that he should be giving it up, but obviously he's looking for security for himself personally. And he outlined kind of the rationale and the needs as to why the Broncos wanted to do it. What struck me is he was trying to get out ahead of the posse because he knew obviously the combine week, all the talk, GMs do their press conferences, some of the head coaches are up, Sean Payton then on Tuesday at his own press conference at the combine, says we'll make a decision within the next fortnight, and there's going to be our ownership meetings next Wednesday. I mean, this is a slam dunk if it wasn't, you know, it couldn't strike me last year with the Derek Carr scenario. He's going to get released in the next 2 weeks, and hopefully it's going to be him playing. And we spoke about him last week in the podcast, so I don't think we need to go into the nature of where we think he'd end up. But like, he's going to certainly play on a minimum contract next year, and let the Broncos bear the brunt of the remainder of the contract. There's no way in Kent Hill's shots he's back with the Broncos next season.
No, look, I'm 45, 5'8" and unfit, and I'm telling you, Sean Payton would take me a quarterback next year before he's going to take Russell Wilson. I think that that ship has absolutely sailed. As you say, Russell Wilson is just, you're hitting that business part of the game now where they need to get out ahead of things. They need to, as you say, the combine is coming up. People are going to start meeting. People are going to start talking. It's not just teams, it's agents. So, you know, they're kind of getting ahead of the game now, and I'm starting to kind of get things moving. But yeah, I think Russell Wilson knows it. Sean Payton knows it. Everybody knows it. I've seen small pockets say that he could potentially be back there next year as a starter. I don't see it. Even in the Sean Payton press conference, you know, he talked about his prototypical quarterback is probably 6'2". Now, that doesn't mean he will take a quarterback at 6'2". But again, it feels like another just little hint, as, you know, Wilson is not 6'2". He also referenced a meme of a fan wearing a Broncos top with quarterback names on it all crossed out. Wilson was one of the names crossed out, and he said, we need to make sure the next one isn't added to that shirt. Again, am I looking too much into it? Probably, but I think Sean Payton is a guy who doesn't mind letting his feelings be known at times. I think it is his little way of just saying it's done. So for me, I think Russell will be released, as you say. He will be a starting quarterback somewhere next year, I think, and some team could get him on a decent deal that could allow him to try and resurrect things and could be really friendly for a team who maybe needs a veteran quarterback. And for the Broncos, it's going to be interesting to see what they do, whether they go to the veteran market in free agency or whether they maybe try and make something happen. I think they're in 12th. So, you know, there would potentially be a move up or two, unless they wanted to take one of those 5th or 6th ranked quarterbacks, maybe bring them in as a backup and then in free agency make that move and bring in a veteran. Again, you know, there's options to them. It'll be fascinating to see. But I think for one, we can be fairly, fairly sure Russell Wilson isn't going to be on the centre for the Denver Broncos next season.
Let me close out with a combination of a few things, and it's related to the cap going up by $30 million, free agency and GMs this week, even suggesting, and I include the George GM in this, Joe Shane, suggesting that GMs might have a very different strategy over the course of next month, because none of them were seeing a $30 million increase. I think they were on estimate 245, which is still around 20-odd based on last year, but you've gone up to 255. Like, I was reading some nuggets of information from Trent Baalke's GM of the Jags, and I was just keen to what he was saying this weekend, because in particular, Josh Allen, their outside linebacker, is ranked just in the top 3 of impending free agents, and he says they're going to do their utmost to get a deal done with him, and also Calvin Ridley, and also Ezra Cleveland. And like, the Jags are one example of teams that are going to do everything they can to squeeze as much out of capital health to retain players that are, as shown, due to be pending free agents in the unrestricted free agents in the next few weeks. Do you see a scenario where free agents this year, like, we talked about the Premiership for years where deadline day and it was crazy. I know over the last course of the last 3 or 4 years, it's kind of moves away from that because it just doesn't have the same level of intensity in terms of team signing players. Or is free agency this year in the NFL just going to be just like we always see, overpaid players, madness on day one, madness on day two of tampering, eases off slightly on the day itself when it's officially, you know, becomes the new business year. Is it because it can be slightly different because of the nature of $30 million? Like, I see all of a sudden Joyce GM now is saying Saquon Barkley might well be back with the Joyce. He might well be tagged because he wants 12 a year. We can give him 11.9 on the tag. We can work on a deal. That wasn't in the offing a couple of weeks ago. Things seem to have changed considerably for a lot of teams across the league in terms of how they approach it. GM's very open. Things might move in a better way for us now.
Yeah, as you say, I saw that Joe Sean interview where he talked about, sorry, did I pronounce it wrong there? Joe Shane, is it?
Joe Shane, yep.
Getting it wrong there, sorry. But I saw that interview where he talked about, you know, over the next few days, he's going to be having meetings because this is going to allow the Giants now to recalibrate and potentially alter plans that they had initially put in place. So it may mean that, you know, a player they weren't sure they could kind of stretch to could now become available to them in this new kind of wage structure that's been afforded to them. On the other hand, you probably have agents and players sitting back thinking, excellent, let's put a few more digits onto this asking price here. So it could potentially all balance out. Players may ask for that a little bit more to kind of make up for that extra money. As you say, teams may be able to pay that a little bit more because they budgeted slightly under. And it's going to be interesting to see how much of an actual knock-on it does have. Because, look, obviously there are some teams that have wage structures. And I look at the Bears, for example, with Ryan Poles. He seems to have a set number in his head that he doesn't deviate from. So in terms of free agents going to the Bears, you know, it may not get a free agent any more money because Ryan Poles generally wants to pay for what he believes the value is. But you will get other teams that, you know, if they want a certain player, they'll just throw the bank at it and see what happens. So that's where it could benefit some free agents, and some teams will have a little bit more wiggle room than they initially thought they would have. So it will be interesting to see. Yeah, I think it's a fairly decent draft or free agency top wise. So you've got some really good running backs who potentially now are going to hit free agency rather than being franchise tagged. You know, we'll see what happens with Barkley, but he could potentially be one of them. You still have a couple of interesting top two or three named quarterbacks who, you know, teams will want as veterans. So I think you're right. I think you may see an initial burst out of the traps as you do in the first day or so. You know, we'll be watching the clock once it hits, you know, the time for it. We'll start seeing notifications coming out. And then maybe after day one and two, it then may slow down a little bit and you get that kind of next wave coming through. But I do think it will start at a bit of a pace this year.
Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler,
some running back class. You know, and you may get them at a decent price. Now, as you mentioned, the new wage cap numbers, will it get those players thinking, you know, no, I actually want a little bit more now than I was originally going to take. But again, that's the game, and it'll depend on teams how much they really want that player. If he's a player, though, if you see a Jacobs or a, you know, Henry there, who you think I'm running back away from really pushing this team through the playoffs, maybe they will get that extra little bit of money that's been afforded to the teams.
And not too far away, Monday the 11th of March, 4 p.m. Irish time, when the tampering period starts, and we obviously see deals very quickly. And that's when we'll be coming back live, as Bill O'Reilly likes to say, live with Jones from 9 o'clock that night. I think we're going to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday that week, I suppose. Going through all the very simple signings, and looking forward to that. But in the meantime, we've a lot of other podcasts to come on the course of the next week, so stick with us on the Irish NFL show. Now, as always, thanks for your time.
Brilliant, Brian. Thanks a lot for that.